This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
There's something in the news as of late that I think may disrupt some confidence. We've been hearing the word correction a lot lately when it comes to the stock market, which never sounds good. But I have to wonder, and maybe you can help explain this to listeners, what is a correction? Are we actually in one right now? And is there anything positive we can do in the meantime when it comes to our retirement plan? And furthermore, these corrections, how long do they typically last?
Yeah, so look, we've been looking at this market going into correction mode for a while, and it's all about how to be defensive. And then, you know, now with the interest rate environment where it's at, even though it's not outpacing inflation, you know, using CDs or treasuries or, you know, insured indexing, different things like that, where you can have principal preservation and get a guaranteed rate of return, money market accounts paying 5%. So look, there's definitely options out there instead of, you know, like let's play the market long when you're watching it devaluing each and every day. Now look, some days it's up, like this week we had more up days. Last week it was the complete opposite. So, you know, we're seeing different scenarios over time. Over the course of this year, I should say. And it's a matter of having a big picture plan of what to do. And if you can add a level of security and having a tactical method of managing your money where you're understanding when it's necessary to hold a position and when it's time to sell a position and when it's suitable to buy a position. So ideally, it's looking at the math and keeping the emotion out of investing. And that's the key thing that we have to look at doing is understanding where we're at with the market. So in January 1st of 2000, you know, people were just, you know, they're still like riding the wave of this bull market. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, negative 10 that year, negative 13 that next year, negative 23 the next year. Well, look, if you had an investment account, let's say you had $1 million and you were pulling out 4%, $40,000 each year from that account, and you just saw negative 10, negative 13, or negative 23, your account value at the end of that third year, it went from $1 million to 500 grand. So we have to have the understanding of what happens on big negative years, even though, like, let's say if you have an account that averages, over 5% and you're taking out 4, you would think, okay, well, I'm never going to run out of money. But the problem is whenever you're seeing these big negative years, especially when they're back to back to back, that creates a big problem. Last year, the market was down. S&P was down over 19%. What's going to happen this year? I mean, we still got more of the year to go, even though the year is up. But it's really 7 tech stocks that are pulling the market up. So we have to look at what's going to happen for the rest of the year. I mean, obviously, we're going into election year. We had some elections, but not the election, the big one that we're looking at. But we have a lot of stuff going on. And then what's going on with China and Russia and Ukraine? And there's a lot of the different things that we have to look at to make a good, solid decision on what to do moving forward on a temporary basis. Not for the long haul, set it and forget it, but on a temporary basis. What are things that we can do to lower our vulnerability in a down market? It's a matter of using the right tools, the right strategies for the right time periods, have money allocated in the right areas for certain purposes, and to focus on growth in certain areas using the more sound strategies instead of the old buy and hold, set it and forget it.
You know, it's all about being able to control what you can control. And I think part of it goes with realizing that there are different phases in your retirement. I think that's probably obvious when you think about it. But also, there's going to be different spending patterns in your retirement. You're going to need money right now that isn't necessarily subject to the whims of the market, because if and when it does fluctuate, something that we can't control, you don't want to withdraw in a down market and compound those losses. But also at the same time, you're going to need that growth potential, because inflation is always going to be a picture down the line. So you're going to need money in the market. You're going to need money, you know, maybe a little bit protected from the market. And then, you know, just finding that right blend starts with actually sitting down and creating a plan. And that is what the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management can help you with, you know, getting you to through and beyond retirement. The first step, of course, is picking up the phone and giving a call. 366-8366 is that phone number. It's 366-8366. So you are about to retire. Congratulations. But now what? Retirement blogger Joe Kuhn believes at the start, you should make frequent use of the word no.
When you're retired, you got this time, and you're going to want to fill it by saying yes to a whole bunch of things. I got time. I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. All of a sudden, you're in 4 nonprofits. You're doing all kinds of things. Get your feet on the ground. Relax. Enjoy that you've retired. So take the time to say no for 6 months. Think through things. Where do I want to volunteer? Where do I want to spend my time? What do I want to do? What are my hobbies?
You know, we've talked many times about, you know, the first couple of years of retirement being known as the go-go years, but maybe pumping the brakes a little bit, as Mr. Kuhn is saying here. Have you given clients similar advice as they embark on their retirement chapter?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's always things that, you know, people can fill up their make a laundry list of things they could do around the house, honey-do list. Now, maybe you got to be careful when you're saying no to that thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, but yeah, no, before you know it, you could be on a whole bunch of nonprofit nonprofits where you're volunteering time everywhere, which that's not a bad thing, but ideally it's a matter of looking, okay, what you want to do, sit back, relax. You might want to detox a little bit, like, because you've been, you know, going hard, grinding for years, probably an upper level management leaving the job where there's a lot of stress, you know. Or maybe you have a, you know, very physical job where, look, it's taking a toll on your back, where, okay, you need to get some, you know, some R&R, maybe get a massage, you know, do some yoga, something to where you can, you know, lower that stress level, you know, be really relaxed and really focus on what's the next steps. What do you want to do to enjoy? What's the big picture? What's the bucket list of things that you want to do so you can fulfill all of your goals and dreams? I mean, there might be things that you want to restore, maybe an old hot rod or your first vehicle or old truck, maybe a motorcycle. Maybe there's some trips that you want to take with you and your spouse, or maybe you have some guide trips, some hunting trips. You know, we have all these different things that we got to look at doing for the future, because we don't know how much time we have and really how much time we have as healthy as we are currently today. So that's something that you got to keep in mind. Now, also, look, whenever you go into retirement, there's probably a lot of projects around the house. Maybe you want to build a new patio in the backyard. Maybe you want to do some, update the landscaping, maybe new cabinets, you know, change the flooring, repaint the house on the interior. There's a numerous amounts of things that could be done. You know, maybe, you're ready to go spend some time with your mom and dad, if they're still around. So they might live in another state, another city, and they might live, you know, around the block. But because of, long work hours and probably schedule with your kids, you didn't get to spend as much time. So you're looking at trying to, you know, do that, have more time with your family. So there's a lot of different things, you know, that we can look at doing. But make sure that you don't overcommit and really have a lot of time for yourself, and just instead of saying yes to everything.
A lot of people, they want to make up for lost time. All the time they spent working, they want to go ahead and do as much as possible. Retirement is not a sprint. It is a long race. It's a marathon, and you want to make sure that, you know, you don't burn out yourself, or certainly your finances, you know, in those first couple of years. And so that is where having a plan, you know, maybe deciding what it is that you want to do first. Now, John Blanchard is not going to tell you what it is that you should do first or that you want to do first when it comes to your retirement dreams. Their job, the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, is to make sure that, you know, it goes the distance. It is viable for that marathon that is retirement, but it all starts with picking up the phone and developing that plan with them. Again, taking steps a little bit at a time. Maybe there's some validity to this saying no and not taking on too much right away, but regardless, you need to have a plan put in place. 366-8366 is how you start developing that plan, how you start creating that plan. And then as time goes on throughout the race, you know, fine-tuning that plan, revisiting the plan, and making changes as necessary. 366-8366 is how you get started. You can also go to the website, MatthewJames.com. Forbes says that Magic Johnson is worth $1.2 billion at age 64. He's the fourth athlete to cross the billion-dollar threshold. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, the other three. But get this, only $40 million, still not a small feat, but only $40 million comes from his time on the basketball court. Turns out he's also an MVP at investing. He's made money from investing into sports teams, Starbucks, movie theaters, Burger King's, 24-hour fitness, and he has a controlling stake in an Iowa-based life insurance company, which I think all goes to show it is a great reminder of the power of multiple streams of income. So most of the people listening out there, I would venture to say, don't have a MVP, a Hall of Fame, NBA career behind them. How do we go about creating something similar, even though we don't have, you know, that kind of history?
Yeah, look, you can always make your own history and start from zero. I mean, there's so many people that we hear that, you know, they've taken an idea or a particular product or some kind of a service, and then they took that and scaled it and made it you know, big in that case. I mean, obviously, if people that are working at a job, they can save and invest their money, and they can do other things outside of their job. So, like, you got to look at you know, most people have earned income. Then you can have passive income, such as real estate, or you have a portfolio of investments that's paying you dividends, those kind of things. But it's all about how to use leverage in the right areas and how to make your money work for you while you're sleeping, so you never have to work for money. And that's the ideal thing that we have to look at. What is the big picture goal for you? What is the strategy? And the thing is, you want to know that it's never too late. There was a gentleman that I met, and I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again. I think it was in 2021, maybe. I was in Palm Desert, California. I think that's what you call it. Mm-hmm. There's like 110 golf courses in that one city. I mean, I don't even play golf. I need to pick it up. I've been saying it forever. I just have too much going on with kids, so it's kind of, I feel guilty if I want to, you know, go play golf and I can't, I'm not hanging out with my kids.
Sure.
Even though I need some, you know, my own therapy in a way, and that's what the motorcycles are for me at this point in time. But anyway, my Uber driver, because I always love having conversations with these guys, this guy actually owns and operates a restaurant in the Northeast. Granted, I'm in California. Mm-hmm. So he owns and operates a restaurant in the Northeast, and his the employee that started his newest employee started 8 years ago. So think about that. Like, most restaurants have a significant amount of turnover. Yeah. This guy, obviously, he's doing something right. And the thing is, he's operating it from afar. He has a management team over there, and he's very profitable. So his wife and his kids are going to actually be moving down to Palm Desert. He wants to spend time with his dad, but he was telling me about his dad. His dad, for the longest, who's always a salesman, really good salesman. He was on his fourth marriage at the time, I think. But he was 70 years old, and his only source of income was Social Security. He didn't have any other investments. And then he made a connection. He had a good idea, and he started a phlebotomy lab, and doing the lab work and sending out the labs to a lab company to run the test and give the doctors the blood work results. So anyway, he started this in Scottsdale, Arizona, roughly about 5-6 years ago, when this, you know, the beginning of the story happened. Well, he asked his son, the one that was the Uber driver, for a $10,000 loan, and he would pay it back with interest and to get his business going. Well, he sold his business the year before that I sat in the vehicle, he sold it for $6.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he took a $10,000 loan from his son and turned into selling his business for $6 million. And he made a significant amount of money over that time period. And so he sold it, and then him and his son are actually opening up. They're starting their own in a couple different cities around Palm Desert in California. Because, I mean, he has a non-compete in Scottsdale, but, I mean, that's a pretty decent distance away, and he could start up again. And it's all about having the right contacts and or just putting yourself in the right position with the right idea, with, you know, the right work ethic and good financial management. And so, look, there's no age limit on success. I mean, you could start at any point. If you're in your 20s or you're in your 80s, at any point in time. And look, we've talked to people that are in their late 60s still grinding. They just love what they're doing. They're not working for someone. They're working for themselves. But it's a matter of finding opportunities. I have a buddy of mine that he was a longtime furniture salesman. And he's like, you know what? I'm really tired of doing this. I'm spending all this time over here. I have 6 kids. I never see them because it's like I have to earn a commission to put food on the table. So him and his wife dabbled in real estate, and they didn't focus on premium houses, lower price point, like under $120,000 houses. And at the time, interest rates were great, where, you know, they could put down a little bit of money and borrow a decent amount of money. Now they have over 60 rental properties, and that's all passive income. And there's a lot of tax advantages with it too. So we have to look at what opportunities are out there for individuals and where they can invest, whether it's, you know, in real estate or they're investing in a startup company, a local startup company. There's a lot of different options out there and opportunities that you could take advantage of. There's no age restriction. So if you think you're behind eight ball, you know, it's a matter of just being creative, and there's always something out there that there's a demand for that, you know, if you can help serve that community, you can come out on the winning side.
And it's not to say that, you know, you have to work through your 80s and beyond that if that's not what you want to do. You just have to make sure the math aligns and, you know, it works out for you. Figuring out how to You know, maybe you turn a passion into a source of income, you know, hobbies, things like that, maybe going back as a consultant. But it shows the importance of having multiple streams, as, you know, Magic Johnson there, you know, in the case of the phlebotomy business, money that isn't necessarily tied to the market. In that way, in times of down markets, if there is a correction, like we were speaking about earlier, and the markets are down, not pulling money out from those assets, but being able to utilize other sources, being able to figure out how to make it all work for you. It's something that Matthew James Tax Wealth Manager, they can help you with. Start creating that plan, start crafting that plan, and figure out how to make it work for you. But you have to take the first step, give a call, pick up the phone, schedule that complimentary appointment with them, 366-8366, or going online to MatthewJames.com. Now, even though it recently passed on raising interest rates again, the Fed does vow to continue to fight inflation. They want it down to 2%, but, well, that last couple percentage points, they're being stubborn. Shark Tank investor Kevin O'Leary was on Fox Business recently. Here's what he said.
The idea that they'll be lowering rates anytime soon, forget about it. And top of that, either it's going to be much longer at these levels at 5.5%, or more likely in December would be a 25 basis point rate hike, which is now back on the table. I think before this is all over, if inflation stays stubborn north of 3%, we'll get to a 6% terminal rate. And right now, the number one leading attribute to deciding what happens next is inflation. It just won't go away.
So, John, has this lingering inflation changed your outlook when it comes to managing retirement portfolios?
Yeah, it's a matter of looking for other alternatives that can, you know, provide adequate income without creating a lot of vulnerability on the downside, or obviously locking up your money for any significant crazy period of time. And unfortunately, we see people doing those kind of things where you can't, like, back out, you can't crawfish out of that scenario. So ideally, what we're looking at is what liquid strategies are out there, or near-term liquid strategies are out there that could provide supplemental income to your Social Security, your pension check, whenever you're in retirement. And ideally, it's like, even if you're younger, trying to invest and save money, even though you're dealing with a lot of market volatility, you know, what if you can qualify for strategies that eliminate a lot of downside pressure, and you can get more capitalized growth? So there's some sophisticated money management out there that we give people access to. Obviously, you have to be qualified, but the thing is, we got to look at what's best for the consumer and what are their needs and what are we trying to help them with. And ideally, look, some people are in a position where they have substantially enough money where if their account makes 2% a year, they're happy, let alone needs to make 15 or 10 or 8. You know, so that's the thing that we have to look at is, what is the scenario you're in, and what can we do to benefit you and your family, and also reduce your tax liability too, because, you know, it's not about, you know, how much money you make, but it's also how much you keep.
That's right.
So every dollar in taxes that you can reduce is equally as important to every dollar that you could that you can grow in the market.
Finding that right blend, having that diversified multiple streams of income, as we talked about a little earlier, developing that plan can be tricky and something a little difficult to do on your own, but the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you figure out that right blend for you. You know, how to take into account inflation and interest rates and market volatility and taxes, of course. It's right there in the name, Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. Start developing that plan. Pick up the phone and give a call, 366-8366, or go online to the website, MatthewJames.com. Now, John, there was a recent article from the Wall Street Journal, and it echoes what we've all seen recently. The 60-40 portfolio mix, it's failing, and it's not because of the riskier side of the portfolio, the 60% in stocks. Both bonds and stocks, they've taken serious hits as of late. Now, as interest rates continue to hold fast heading into 2024, should retirees and pre-retirees look at a different investment blend, whether that's a percentage or the actual investments within?
Yeah, that's the key thing. And so, you know, the 60-40, you know, we look at it as being dead. A lot of professionals out there say the same thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing is these target date models are as well. And so, you know, we saw last year what happened to the 2020, 2025, 2030 target date funds. Now, like, this is like Fidelity's flagship retirement accounts, or the Vanguard's flagship retirement accounts, where we saw as much of a drawdown as 27%. Last year in some of these funds. And so ideally, we got to look at, okay, what's the mechanics? What happened? And in 2020, whenever the market had this significant rebound, the equity portion of these target date funds outweighed the balance of the portfolio. So they were forced to sell equities and buy bonds. And at the time, they were buying a lot of bad debt. a lot of interest rates were – a lot of these bonds, the interest rates were significantly low and the bond prices were very high. Well, as Powell's been raising rates due to inflation, what we've seen – everybody's seen this – is that the price of the bonds had fallen because the interest rates had risen. And so as he keeps raising interest rates, we're seeing fallen bond prices where we're seeing that's a negative market valuation on these bonds. Now, you have to hold it to maturity – you know, to get, you know, your money back. But we have to look at the scenario there and what are the options that are out there, especially if they start dropping rates, which, you know, they talk about doing over time. But how will that have a negative effect on the market as well, even on the real estate market, which is going to be something, because we've seen prices of homes excel over the last several years due to interest rates being low and scarcity and supply and demand issues. And then now rates have risen significantly, I mean, basically double, if not more, in some areas or for some people. And then, you know, what's going to happen when they lower rates? What's going to happen where we have like a negative basically a negative effect where the prices of the homes are going to go up even higher because interest rates got lower. So I've read some reports and seen some watched some videos where you might have a house that's worth $500,000 that's going to be worth $1 million overnight just because their rates dropping. So we have to pay attention to how that's going to, you know, price people out of the market and create, you know, more issues that are going to have a trickle-down effect.
Again, you know, whether or not the 60-40 is in fact dead, the truth is it does certainly, it's on life support. It needs a little bit of attention, a little bit of help. Maybe it is scaling that back and you know, an 80-10 or finding something in there that's not necessarily 40% bonds, but it is a conversation worth having depending on your risk tolerance and where you are in retirement, what you want to achieve in retirement, and how those other assets that you have are working for you. The team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Managers, they could take a look at that, offer suggestions, changes that they think you might need to make, or, you know, if you are doing well and you want to stay the course, you know, they'll let you know that as well, but you don't know until you have that conversation. So pick up the phone and give a call, speak with them, 366-8366. Go into the website at matthewjames.com. Here we are in early November, Thanksgiving, of course, right around the corner, and, you know, family recipes, it's always something that comes up. A new poll by Bob Evans found that 71% of Americans have at least one family recipe that was passed down to them from parents, grandparents, even great-grandparents. One in four say they also have a recipe of their own they plan to pass down. You know, just as family recipes go from one generation to the next, John, financial assets, they're often passed down to heirs as well. How can you help so that this transfer goes smoothly?
Well, look, we have to look at the big picture of what they're trying to do, how many people are involved, and how the IRS will weigh in on their plan or maybe the lack of their plan. So ideally, what we want to do is make sure we have a comprehensive estate plan that covers a will, a power of attorney, anything from a health, you know, all things healthcare related inside of that estate plan. The other thing we have to look at is if they're planning on doing any charitable giving, how could we use that and the deductions with that to offset transfers to Roth accounts, or how to eliminate an estate tax by multiple ways of doing that. I mean, it's either you're using life insurance to pay the taxes, or you're putting the money in an irrevocable trust, or you're even using a charitable remainder trust, and you can still have access to the asset. You're just giving the asset away upon death, but you're getting major tax advantages, and you're still receiving money from that particular trust without having to pay taxes. So that's something that we have to look at now. Now, there's different types of trust, and there's a lot of complexity, so it depends on your scenario, or if you're dealing with you have a special needs child, so we have to look at that. I said earlier, we talked about life insurance. There's annual gifting. But we're, you know, a big thing is like also looking at taking your 401k or traditional IRA and doing a conversion to a Roth and how to do that over time and maximize those conversions right in like this year and the next 2 years while we have the Trump tax cuts. And then from there, managing your marginal tax rate to convert over as much as possible at the right price point, and also to be knowledgeable about IRMA increases when your income is, it starts excelling certain dollar amounts. So when you start, when you turn 63, because at 65, they're doing at 65, they're looking at what you made 2 years back at age 63 to calculate what your Medicare Part B and Part D premiums are. So, you know, you want to be very knowledgeable on the pricing on that. And if you just go $1 over, how much in premiums that will make, that you're going to see an increase. So that's things that we have to look at. But it's all about minimizing tax exposure and and then how you're going to structure, you know, all these different things. But you also don't want to overlook it. You want to revisit all of your accounts, making sure that all of them have the correct beneficiaries, and making sure, I would, you know, maybe once a year, but for sure every 2 years, going over your actual beneficiaries to make sure it is accurate, not just the person, but even the contact information.
You know, it is ultimately a little bit more complicated than passing down a recipe. You know, going to take more than the front and back of an index card. That's got to go from generation to generation. But the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you with that. You know, that is where the wealth management comes in. Not necessarily just for you in your own personal wealth, but the generational wealth that you may be looking to pass on. You know, to your loved ones, starting to develop that plan. Something so you certainly want to address and make sure that Uncle Sam isn't the biggest beneficiary of it. 366-8366 is how that comes into play. You can also go online to MatthewJames.com. John, are there any family recipes that you're looking forward to for Thanksgiving?
You know, actually, I picked some up at my mom's house last night. It's her old, you know, her own rice and gravy, mm-hmm. that tried and true rice and gravy that she would always cook, round steak. My kids love it. So I was leaving somewhere. I forgot where I was at yesterday. I was leaving a ball game, and then my mom called me and that she had made like a whole batch of rice and gravy for my kids. So then I brought it home, and I had to, you know, organize it in the fridge and get it ready to go. But she cooked rice. You know, I had a container just with the meat in it, another container with just the gravy. Mm-hmm. And look, that's a quick fix for my kids. But I would eat that every single day. You know, and I also grew up on crawfish ponds, so we boiled crawfish every day. So I had either had etouffee or fettuccine, or just, you know, peeled crawfish and ate it. But like that was my two main meals, mostly the rice and gravy, for you know, for the whole year. So that's the big recipe. I mean, look, everybody has their own version of candied yams and different things like that. But mm-hmm. I do look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, for those meals on both sides of the family. You know, there's always a good cook somewhere, you know, wherever we go. So that's always enjoyable.
You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, the family gatherings, it is a time for the love and the stewardship. And you don't want something like a mismanaged estate plan to create tension among the you know, the family gatherings, the holiday season, when that's not really what it's all about. It could be avoided with proper planning. Now, fighting over whose macaroni and cheese is better or things like that, that is something that you'll have to wage that on your own. But avoiding the estate portion of it, Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you. You just have to take the first step. Like I said, give a call. 366-8366. Now, what if your planned retirement date happened when we were in the middle of a falling stock market? It's happened for many people out there, of course. But the question is, should you retire or wait? A recent Smart Asset study answered that question by looking at two hypothetical investors, Dan and Stan. Both of them had $1 million, 50-50 mix of stocks and bonds, a goal of withdrawing 4%. Dan retired. Stan decided to wait until the stock market bounced back. If we went back to 2001 and used that bear market as an example, here's what happened. Dan, his $1 million went down to $833,000. Stan instead waited a year. He had $1.3 million. Now, we always say you can't time the market, but it appears you can, you know, in fact, time your retirement. Does that become a consideration in some of your client meetings, John?
Look, that's something that stresses a lot of people out. I mean, if you go through that time period between 2001, 2002, how did that, you know, negatively basically impact your retirement? So when you're seeing your account value drop. Now, that was in 2001 he was retiring. So we're not even including the negative return of 10% in 2000. So mm-hmm. he was dealing with negative 13 and negative 23, and so his account value went to 833. Now the thing is, and I said it earlier in the show, if you started off with $1 million and you were withdrawing 4%, that's, you know, 40 grand a year, and you saw the full negative repercussions of 2000, 2001, and 2002, then what happened there is your account value went down to $500,000, 500 grand in that scenario. So it's a matter of looking at, okay, when you're getting closer to retirement, what is the risk that you're seeing? If you're taking a substantial amount of risk, then that's a big problem. So there's a lot of people that try hiking Mount Everest each and every year, and several of them, there's a percentage of them that pass away on the hike up. But whenever you're on the descent, there's people that pass away too. So what we have to look at from this is that if you're taking the same amount of risk in retirement than when you're trying to accumulate money and you're withdrawing money and seeing big negative years, that has a long-term negative repercussion on your account. You're going to shorten the lifespan of your account, and that becomes a problem. Or that could put you in a position to where you're going to have to work even longer to try to recoup that money. And what often happens there, when people take that much of a loss, they're going to go way more conservative, which is going to require a substantial contribution just to get back to where you were before. And so that's things that we have to look at on understanding our risk tolerance with our age, when we're pulling income, how much negative vulnerability are we exposing ourselves to there, and having the right strategy to fit our goals with the appropriate amount of money allocated in each area for a certain purpose.
You know, it's all about shifting that mindset. So many of us are, we have an age in mind. I'm going to retire at 62. I'm going to retire at 65 or whatever that age is. Instead of focusing on that number, they should focus instead on, I think, the number that they have, saved up, and whether the plan, whether it makes sense, have that be a little fluid. I know that's not what people want to hear, being so close to the finish line, but if it makes more sense, if it's not going to set you behind the eight ball because you insisted on going ahead and retiring. It's like if a pilot, if the weather conditions weren't right, you wouldn't want them to take off, especially, if you're on that plane. And so making sure that the conditions are correct, and that can be affected largely by having a plan in place to know, again, as we said, those first couple of years, you don't have money that is necessarily tied to the market, but still going to be able to produce some steady sources of income, whether that is using, bonds or real estate or what have you, to make sure that your retirement date doesn't necessarily have to change. But that starts with developing that plan. Again, in Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you with that. 366-8366 is the phone number. That's 366-8366, MatthewJames.com. That's the website. Let's turn our attention to Georgia, John. There's a tiny restaurant that says in Georgia that says it's not afraid to charge a hefty fee for unruly children. One family with 9 kids was caught off guard when the owner threatened them with a $50 surcharge. Some customers, they said they failed to see the problem.
Depends on how bad their kids are. Parents need to teach kids etiquette. They need to teach kids to behave, that there are other people in the world, and it's okay to have fun in the right place.
Now, this would be, obviously an unruly kids fee. Speaking of fees, do you have any new clients that were caught off guard when, your review with them reveals fees that they didn't expect or didn't think that they would see in their retirement portfolio?
Yeah, look, that happens a lot. So what happens is we see some people paying, they have a managed portfolio, and some of them are loaded with mutual funds, and they're unaware of the internal expense ratio of the actual mutual fund. So when we give them a fee assessment on what they're paying, not just along their let's say 1% or whatever the management fee is, but the underlying cost of the funds that they're using. The other thing too, most people are pretty sideswiped about, is on if they have a variable annuity, the actual cost of those things. So all they think is, okay, well, if I die, somebody's going to get the money or I get guaranteed income, but it comes out at cost. And so what when we do these fee assessments on these variable annuities, we're seeing some of them, people are paying anywhere from 1.25% just on the contract to 1.5% just to have the account. And then they're paying a rider cost of like guaranteed income or maybe some kind of enhanced death benefit. Mm-hmm. That's probably around 1% each. And then you have the sub account, the underlying mutual funds that are probably owned by the insurance company, or they have a pretty close relationship with the mutual fund family, where the fee being charged there is probably around 1%, could be 0.5%. But when you add that up, that's a substantial amount of money. So like, think of it this way: if you're paying 3.5% in fees and you're pulling out 4%, you're technically pulling out 7.5% each and every year.
That's right.
So if you're going through a negative year and pulling out that shortens the lifespan of your portfolio. Now, even though it's getting guaranteed income, you got to look at what is the negative repercussions long term. How much money is someone going to receive upon your death? So that's what we want to make sure is you're providing as much principal value that's carrying over, not it depreciating in value, which we see a lot with these kind of high feed variable annuity type vehicles.
Again, making sure that you are aware of the fees, and as we've said many times here on the show, it is all about value. Making sure that what you're paying for, you're getting something of value in return. If you don't know what you are actually paying, it's really difficult to assess that. And so that is where having, a second opinion or that portfolio review to really expose what these fees are. And then, if you decide that those are not of value to you, they're just money that's coming out of your pocket and not really getting anything in return, looking at other ways to make that money, in fact, work for you. That is the benefit of having that review. That is something that the team in Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they're happy to do for you. 8366 if you want to set up that time, start developing that plan, start, you know, maybe it's just getting a second set of eyes on your plan. 366-8366 or MatthewJames.com. A guy recently wrote to an advice columnist on MarketWatch complaining about his current financial advisor. He said he's been getting phone calls annually from the advisor until he requested $35,000 from his plan to buy a car. That's when things became a little less friendly, and when he inquired about getting that portfolio report, the advisor still didn't get back to him after several months. John, if someone came into you with that story, you know, from their existing advisor, what would you say to them?
Well, look, we see these things a lot, and you know, communication is a big thing. We also see a lot of pushback, or we hear a lot of pushback from other from clients or people that we're talking to about their current advisor whenever they want to withdraw money and why they shouldn't do it, and they should, you know, and it's all boils down to revenue. They don't want to lose the revenue that they're receiving. And whenever someone's giving that much pushback, that tells me that they don't have a big book of business where, you know, $30,000 is going to, you know, create an issue with your bottom line. And you know, that's not a good thing. And we hear about it a lot, which is pretty sad because, I mean, that book of business should be sizable enough, or that person's lifestyle should, you know, be in a manner of that that's only a percentage of their income to where, you know, things get tough, they don't have a big issue. But, you know, when the markets have a drawdown, or whenever, you know, people have these excessive withdrawals, we hear people complain about it from the advisor standpoint because they're losing money. They're losing revenue. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is if someone ever calls us and says, hey, look, I need 50 grand to go buy a camper, I'm not going to fight you over it. That's your money. That's, you know, you're trusting us to help you manage it and lower the tax liability on it and create a withdrawal strategy. It's not ours to keep. That's your money. You know, if you want it, call us and we'll send it to you. It's not an issue. But that we see that and hear that a lot, and it's sad because, I mean, it's the consumer's money. They're the ones that worked hard for it.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, license number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.